one is a follow-up discussion regarding the Baldwin Park Garden expansion, rain catchment, and signage proposal. I believe the gardeners have a short presentation, and staff is available to answer any questions you may have.
Reed, will you be speaking for the gardeners?
Yes.
Hi, good evening. My name is Reed Palmer. Just before I get started, I just wanted to thank everybody that came out to the garden this weekend. We really appreciate that you came out to see our project, and we know that this dialogue is going to make the project better, so thank you very much. I was asked by a couple of the board members to come up with a schematic showing how we're going to get the water from the shelter to the cistern. So this figure, I think everybody's seen before, more or less, looking at the aerial view of the park with the shelter. The pipe that we proposed to bury made out of PVC running down into the northwest corner of the existing garden and putting the cistern slightly outside of the 30-foot buffer that we now know that it needs to be placed outside of. So before I show a profile of this to show how it's going to get there by gravity, I just want to go over really briefly how fluid flow works. You know, if we're at rest and we've got a pipe and it's full of water, the water's going to come to an equal level throughout the pipe. Now, if I start adding water on the left side, it's going to flow out at the right side. And the reason is it's no longer level in the pipe. It's not at equilibrium anymore. And this difference in height is what we call in fluid dynamics head. And the rate that the water is going to flow through this pipe is controlled by mainly two factors. It's going to be the head of the water, height differential, and the size of the pipe, the diameter of the pipe. There's some other factors that come into play too, but they're much more minor. They're, you know, fittings, elbows, tees, and also the roughness of the pipe. So now I'll move on and show a profile of what we've got going on. And this isn't exactly to scale, but if we're standing on Broad Street and looking at the park, we see the shelter on the south side of the park up on higher ground, and you know the ground's coming down toward the garden. And to where we propose to put the cistern is at significantly lower grade. So what's going to happen is rain's going to fall on the roof. It's going to pass through the gutters that I've put, you know, in a yellow line there, and it's going to pass into the PVC pipe. We'll have an adapter from the downspout into the gutter. And then it's going to flow by gravity down until it gets right next to the cistern, at which point it'll come up and flow into the cistern. And then we'll also have a clean-out valve down here as well so that we can clean out this pipe if for any reason, you know, debris gets into it. And the reason it's going to flow by gravity is because the cistern is going to be placed lower than the foundation of the shelter. In fact, it would still flow by gravity if it was lower than the gutters. So we've actually got a safety factor in there as well. Matthew Campbell, who's a contractor, he's got a laser level, and he marked on the northwest fence post and figured out that it's almost 7 feet of height differential between the foundation up at the shelter and this area near where we're gonna where we propose to put the cistern, if that's acceptable to everyone. so we would want to, the important thing would be to put this pipe here would need to be, you know, below the gutters, and it's going to be well below the gutters. In fact, the way we're proposing, it'll be below the foundation of the shelter so that when it's done raining, there won't even be water above grade over at the shelter. The entrance to the cistern is 4.5 feet off the ground, 54 inches. And we'd like to put it up on a base that's about 15 inches high because your standard 5-gallon bucket is 15 inches high. So now we're getting pretty close to 6 feet, so there's not a whole lot of difference now left for, to keep that pipe under the grade, but we can do it. And then just to show you, you know, the calculations that I went through to make sure this minimal height differential, and I propose we put it at least 6 inches below grade, this pipe be 6 inches below grade at the shelter. And just again to repeat, there's, you know, 7 feet of safety margin here before the water would ever back up into the gutters. So I looked at some rainfall intensities in this area and picked the shortest duration, which is as hard as it can rain. And if you look way over on the right at that 100-year, once in 100 years around here, they say it'll rain 0.8 inches in 5 minutes, which is an incredible rate of rainfall. And I looked at some of these design storms, the 2-year, the 10-year, and the 100-year, make sure we can get the water from the shelter into the cistern. And so that's the next chart I'm going to show you, is how much of that head differential we'd need to get these design storms through that pipe. starting out, if we just look at a steady hard rain of 1 inch per hour, that would produce 7 to 8 gallons per minute on the roof, and you'd need 0.2 inches to drive that water into the cistern. Hardly anything at all. This is through a 4-inch PVC pipe. If you look at that 2-year hardest rain, that would be 43 gallons per minute, and you'd need 5.2 inches. And I've factored in a little extra roughness for not so new pipe after it's in the field for a while, and all the fittings that are going to be in here. and like I said, I propose that we put it 6 inches below grade. So then we look at this 10-year and the 100-year, we're talking 8 inches or 1 foot and 2 inches above that pipe, but still, that would just be maybe a little bit above this adapter, and yeah, maybe a few drops of water would come out, but we can caulk it and even minimize that. But I mean, it's nothing compared to what's coming off that roof now in a rainstorm. So that's all I have. I'm happy to answer any questions. Again, if I go back to this figure, I'm just proposing that we set this up so we keep this pipe about 6 inches below grade. And again, Matthew Campbell's got a laser level, so we can make that happen.
Just one question. When the cistern fills, how will it be prevented from backing up? Is there...
Yeah, there's a... I didn't put it on this diagram, but there's an overflow pipe that comes out. And the overflow pipe's at 42 inches high, so it's actually a full foot below where it's coming in here. So, it would come out. And I sent an email to Anita yesterday to discuss where it might drain to. But, yeah, it won't back up into the pipe and cause any backup at the shelter.
Any other questions? Jackie?
Just for clarity, you are an engineer, right?
Yeah, I'm a registered professional engineer in North Carolina.
Exactly. And you've been involved in designing this, and you would be involved if it was approved in actually building it, right?
Yes, I live on Broad Street, and I've been an active gardener for the last 10 years.
And the only reason that you can't sign off on this is because that's kind of outside the realm of what your firm does, and your job doesn't allow you to sign off on it. But this is your best professional design and judgment, right?
That's correct. Good. Yeah. As we Jackie's mentioned, we had a discussion when we were at the garden. I work for a professional engineering firm in the area, and I do stuff like this for a living, but they say that I'm not supposed to do signed engineering work outside of the firm,
which is understandable, but
if I had to, I might be able to ask them, or we may have to hire somebody.
Not asking for that. I just wanted to establish that, you know, you're not somebody who this is a hobby. You this is what you do, and you know what you're doing.
Yeah.
Right. Thank you.
But even if it was a hobby, that was pretty impressive.
That's pretty good hobby, yeah.
Thank you.
Pretty serious geek out. All right, Lydia.
Indeed.
Dan and then Lydia, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Lydia. Yeah, are you also requesting an expansion of the garden space this evening?
We are, yes. Okay. We wanted to extend it, I believe at the last meeting, it was approved 25 feet or 30 feet. I don't recall. It was 25 or 30, but we had hoped to get it up to 45 feet. And I don't have that figure with me, but if I go back to this first figure up here, you know, it was 45 feet to the north. And we looked at that, 45 feet is right at the drip line of a tree. And we talked with an arborist who said it was okay. I don't know. I know Matthew talked to him directly if you're interested in hearing what the arborist had to say.
We have remarks from staff.
Okay.
About how, you know, it's fine as long as you stay out of the drip line.
And okay, so you're requesting
you're aware of that.
The 45 feet,
which
and
is
if we make that contingent on that it also be outside the drip line, that would make sense to you all.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, Reed, I wanted to know if you could address, as far as you know, how the Owosso easement may or may not impact, you know, how you would
right.
install this system.
So, Owosso's easement runs kind of out of the page here, right up near the shelter, and my understanding is it's 30 feet wide, and they've asked that we put the PVC tube in a ductile iron pipe over the easements because they have heavy equipment that may come in on occasion and they'd be concerned that they would crush that pipe. Their sewer runs 6 or 7 feet underground and we're only talking about going a foot down, so we're not going to have any conflict there. And I believe we've acquired the 6-inch ductile iron pipe. So we have that, and that would be a sleeve that would go around the smaller 4-inch PVC pipe.
All right, thanks.
All right.
Mark, I have one other.
Go ahead.
Thank you for Saturday. It was awesome. It was absolutely awesome. And Saturday I asked a question that maybe Anita had gotten a question to, and that was at the creek. There was the French perforated pipe. Do we ever establish what that was? And
it's in the response that's at your place.
Okay. Oh, all right. Okay. And thank you for the slides.
Thank you.
Okay.
That's great.
So Public Works has not yet investigated this, but the perforated pipe most likely carries water away from the gravel area adjacent to the shelter, where the water falls to the edge of the roof. If gutters are installed on the shelter, the drains would reduce the amount of water going into this drain. It would seem to not have an impact on the proposed project. So,
I have a question for Anita.
But
y'all, are these?
No, if you have a question, go ahead.
I have a question too.
I have a comment more.
I wanted to ask, I was out there a couple weeks ago, and how big is the park?
It's 2.5 acres.
And how much is this, how much would this, if it went to 45?
It's 50,
how much of that would it take
It's
up?
50% additional space than it's taking up now. So,
I'm wondering, like, does it take up half of the park, or?
What are the dimensions wind up being?
Well, if we go back to the picture, I think it would show that.
I think it'd be 40. Hold on just a second. I apologize, I wasn't prepared to answer that.
No problem.
Yeah.
Matthew calculated this a couple weeks ago and figured out it would be 5.9% of the total space in the park.
Okay. Thanks.
Okay.
5.9%?
Don't you love having geek gardeners?
That's correct, of the total square footage of the park.
Okay. Thank you.
too. Is the question.
Okay. Any other questions? Yeah, who can remind me what the cost of the sign was supposed to be?
$200.
Was $200, is that right?
The question of the shed is still in play, right?
That's what this presentation is going to address,
oh,
the
I'm
street
sorry.
Buffers and the shed placement.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just wanted to mention also in your packets is a copy of this aerial map that shows that the majority of the park is in the stream buffer. So wanted to mention that.
Anita, is this lower section part of the park also?
No, the park.
This is the pavilion right here, and this is the
basketball court,
and this is the garden.
Right, the park is the two blue lines, rectangles together. Is that accurate?
Well, it's a little longer.
The property line.
It's probably about down this area.
Oh.
And then the line over, the red line over
to. I'm just confused because it says the blue line is Baldwin Park. Oh, I guess it's 406 and 410. Is that Baldwin Park or are those neighboring lots?
Trish,
yes.
Can you answer that? But those are neighboring lots. The two that you're talking about are neighboring lots.
Oops, sorry. I'm just going to point on here, I think. You're using this. So yeah, these are the right. These are the boundaries of the park. These two lots, and the other two properties that are shown on here were just referenced in the agenda items, so that's why they're outlined.
Okay, so the stream buffers are in half of the property, not most of it.
Yeah, they're probably a little bit over half because of this one going up on this side up to the. I mean, we didn't calculate a percentage.
Right. Okay.
But there is some on this more southern lot near the pavilion.
Thanks.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any questions for staff?
I think the other question that Sammy had just in follow up was the solution to the shed. When I was out there Friday, the talk was to put the shed inside the fence to both protect the shed and. Is that what other people were hearing?
That's not what I heard.
Okay.
I heard they were putting it outside the south side of the fence with a cutaway for the shed to open into the garden.
Right.
That
okay.
That's what they were requesting.
Yeah.
Is that correct, y'all?
Yes.
So it's kind of in and out of it.
Right.
It sticks out of the fence, but it's only accessible from inside the fence.
Right.
Which seems very reasonable. I think we're ready to move forward. There are people who have seeds to plant, and I think we have a good plan. I'm very much in favor of motioning that the garden group be allowed to build the. It seems like you know an engineer has designed it. They have a licensed contractor who's going to help them build it. They're very serious people. If you go out there, it looks great. Community's participating. I don't see any reason not to let this happen. So I'd like to move that we empower the Baldwin Park Gardening Group to run the line from the shed to their cistern, to expand the garden as long as it does not enter into the drip line of the tree, and to move the shed so that the door will open in, like so it's right outside the fence and the door will open inside the fence.
On the southeast corner.
Yes, on the southeast corner.
I'll second that.
Thank you,
and,
Dan.
I wanted to raise one other possibility. I think the gardeners are investing a whole lot into improving this park through this putting this system in, and I wonder how the board would work. Would you feel including the town paying for that sign?
I would accept that as part of the motion.
Okay, and I'll accept that as the second.
Thank you.
Lydia?
Yeah, I wanted to say that I'm inclined to support Jackie's motion, and the reason is, since our last meeting, I've tried to do a lot of like independent research on, first of all, the use of volunteers in various capacities with towns, but predominantly in parks and recreation type activities, because those are what I'm familiar with, and also this in some departments or in some cities falls under that auspice. And I also found, you know, a lot of literature out there, a lot specifically about community gardens and how they present unique challenges, but they also present very, very, very good benefits. And each community has had to, I'll say, grapple with it in their own way, not just system-wide, but even park to park, like mm-hmm. we're doing here. And I think that the vast majority of what I saw and read were that in communities that supported community gardening, it was a partnership to some degree between the city in that, in many cases, in that perhaps it was on city land, perhaps the city provided some assistance as far as they could in helping with the garden. But in some, they also were purely private-public. It just kind of depended on the particular municipality. But it certainly seems, I know the other thing I was going to say, was after our last meeting, I think there was a sense of frustration here that we had what seemed to be very qualified, willing, and able volunteers who wanted to go out and do this, and yet we're very concerned, as we should be, about liability. They took the time to meet with all of us in the appropriate numbers and explain to us in great detail how they were going to try to do this. They obviously have a lot of expertise, which a lot of what I've read, when you have, you know, there's, I think it makes sense to use volunteers that have expertise in some areas. And so, with regard to this particular part, I think I'm in favor of moving forward with it.
Thank you.
Yeah, and I also want to echo and appreciate other board members recognizing how valuable this garden is for our community, but also in general, just the way in which we have community members who are so involved in creating such spaces. These are perfect opportunities that we'll probably see more of as towns throughout the country actually start seeing less funds to do things that community expects. So it will become more and more a challenge for us to find creative ways in which to use our community's energy. And for a town like Carrboro, with such talented people, I think it's something we should really maximize as much as we can.
I just wanted to add that I really appreciate the time that you took on Saturday, not only to answer our questions, but, you know, work together collaboratively to think through some of the other possibilities. It's a very exciting project.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. I just had one note that you might include in your motion if possible, because of the, it's pretty tight out there, and I just think it's important to recognize how close the, I think that this is a matter of just where the shed is placed, if it is indeed placed out. Clarify, you know, if you mean on the southeast side here or here, but also the measurements in GIS suggest there's only about 8 feet from the corner of the garden as it's shown here to the edge of the buffer. Mm-hmm. This is not a survey, but it will need to be field verified. I think the location of the shed in relation to the buffer, it is a provision in our ordinance. Okay. So if you could perhaps consider that as part of clarification of the motion.
I would just add that the shed must be placed in such a manner that it is outside of the stream buffer.
Gardeners, does either side of that corner work for you?
They've looked at that.
We can't put it on the east side because that's the old Wassa.
Right.
Okay, so it has to be on the south side in that corner.
It has to be on the south side, and we know that the shed is 6 feet plus or minus, and if there's an 8 foot space, then we should be able to put it right in that space.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's close, but it'll get there.
I think they've looked at that.
Yeah.
Thanks.
Thanks,
Trey. All
right. So I believe the net effect is that we have a motion and a second.
We do.
I'll just add, I think a number of you may have seen, mentioned something on Facebook recently about a town in Scotland that had adopted a much more aggressive strategy, actually, in this direction, and with interesting benefits. And I commend that to your attention if you haven't seen it yet. But anyway, all those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All those opposed, not a pass unanimously.
See how much different government is at 8 p.m. than at midnight? Yeah.
That was the problem.
Compared with 11:30.